It's here and now. We are in radio, so we love sounds and people who collect them. For instance, do you know what this is? Some of our listeners in upstate New York do. It's the sound of the awesome power of 225,000 cubic feet per second of water rushing over the Niagara Falls. How about this? Listen to that reverb. A gunshot in what the Guinness Book of World Records calls the most reverberant place on the planet, the Inchindown oil tank in Scotland. Then there's this. Okay, it's an instrument, but you will be surprised to hear how that music is made. In our ongoing search for and series on sounds, today we bring in Trevor Cox. He's the professor of acoustic engineering at the University of Salford in Manchester, England. His new book is The Sound Book, The Science of the Sonic Wonders of the World. Professor Cox, welcome.
It's great to talk to you.
And start with that last sound, the stalagpipe organ. Describe that.
Well, it's across in Virginia, so it's over your side of the pond, and it's the most amazing instrument made out of stalactites and other cave formations, and it's in Luray Caverns. And you can go and visit today. You can go and listen to it if you want, and it is quite amazing. It was built back in the 1950s. So this engineer, who's got a great name of Leland Sprinkle, had this idea of trying to make an organ out of all the cave formations. Because when you hit some cave formations, they ring quite beautifully. And he's then spent 3 years going around trying to find 37 different stalactites that would ring with just the right sort of tone. He then sort of was a bit of a vandal, actually. He angle grinded them to get them the right length so they'd be in tune. And you can play it. Although you wouldn't normally, as a kind of normal person going there, you'd need special permission. But there's an organ where when you hit a key, somewhere in the cave, a little rubber mallet taps a stalactite and makes a ringing sound.
You know something. Let's bring it up and listen full a little more. In your book, part of what you do is, you know, just remind us that when we travel, it's not just to see things, it's to listen to things.
You know, one thing which surprised me when I started this idea of sound tourism was that actually normal guidebooks say so little about sound. I mean, here in London, across in England, you might get the Whispering Gallery of St Paul's, and that's probably, in the entirety of England, the only sound mention I can find in most guidebooks.
What is that? What is it?
The Whispering Gallery of St Paul's Cathedral. So it's a great big dome where you go up into the dome and you get a friend to stand on the opposite side and you whisper into the walls. And the sound skims around the inside of the walls and your friend can hear it emerging out of the stonework. And you can talk to them and they're sort of like 30 metres, maybe 40 yards away from you, and yet you can hear them quite clearly because the sound sticks to the inside of the dome and skims around the edge.
And you have other places that you reference in your book where whispers carry, Grand Central Station, for instance. But you also, as you split sounds up into categories, you talk about naturally occurring and then man-made. But let's listen to a little more of the naturally occurring. Here are the Kelso Sands. Spooky. What is that?
Well, that's booming or singing or musical sand dunes. And actually, in America, you're quite lucky. You've got quite a few places down in southwest America where this happens, because there's actually only about 40 documented sites around the world. So that was the Kelso Dunes in the Mojave Desert in California. And so there's this great sand dune rising out of the scrubland. And when you create an avalanche on it, it creates this amazing droning sound. And it's not just the sound which is amazing, because to make this happen, you have to scoot down the hill on your backside to sort of get the avalanche going. And you can feel your whole body being vibrated by the sands.
Quite something. Then there are other places that are man-made and have some accidental sound phenomenon. This oil tank in Inchindown, Scotland. We heard how the gunshot reverberated. I want to hear some more sounds that are made in there. But what is it? You say that walking into it was like walking into a villain's secret lair in a James Bond movie.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing place. It was built just in the run-up to World War II, and it was to protect the naval Royal Navy shipping oil. So it's actually buried into the side of a Scottish hill. You wouldn't know it was there unless someone takes you there. And there's this great metal door which you open up, and there's this great long tunnel you have to walk down to get to these six huge tanks which used to store the oil. And these are vast places, you know, the size of cathedrals. The actual entrance actually is even more dramatic to get into the tank because there's no door. It wasn't designed to be got into. So you actually have to go down the pipework. So you get pushed down the pipe that the shipping oil used to come out of. And then you're in this vast cavern, which is, you know, the size of a very large Gothic church, but has the sound. When you make a sound in there, it will last, you know, a minute, a couple of minutes, depending on what frequency you make.
Well, in fact, we have a musical chord, so let's listen to that. In choral music, there's the phrase, a ringing chord, you know, when it just has this afterlife. Boy, that really has one there.
Yes, I mean, you get that in cathedrals. I mean, a really good example of that is the baptistry in Pisa, where if you go there as a tourist, the guards actually stand in the middle every so often and sing chords so they can harmonise with each other. But it doesn't quite last as long as the Inchindown Oil Depot, but it's still pretty impressive.
Touch on too, for people who love sound, this book is just wonderful for the science of sound. You talk about decibels and things that audio engineers will just love, but you also talk about how musicians are going into some of these spaces to make music. We know here in the U.S. Paul Winter was always going into spaces to try to get sounds, for instance, with animals. You talk about Stuart Dempster, who records in a cistern in Fort Worden State Park in Washington State, John Butcher, who made recordings in the Wormit Reservoir. Where's that?
Well, that's, of course, in Scotland. Scotland, interesting enough, has quite a few interesting reverberant spaces. And this is an old water reservoir. And, yeah, it's quite interesting musicians playing in very big spaces. They're very unusual. You've got a choice. You can either play really slowly. So the Stuart Dempster one, the piece I know, he plays almost like meditative because every note's going to last a long time. You just go very, very slowly. And so the notes don't overlap too badly. Whereas John Butcher is a saxophonist, an English saxophonist, he kind of just goes for it. And you get this sort of smog building up of all the previous notes, and he just keeps going on top of them without kind of almost ignoring them.
Let's listen. Well, that woke us up. Trevor Cox, thank you so much. Trevor Cox, Professor of Acoustic Engineering at the University of Salford in Manchester, England, bringing us the music of English saxophonist,
or whatever. Saxophonist, he said.
John Butcher. His book is called The Sound Book, The Science of the Sonic Wonders of the World. You read it and you will travel differently with very open ears. You can go to hearnow.org for a link to his website where you can explore even more sonic wonders.
Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with A World of Glass, claymation videos set to hypnotic music by artists Natalie Jurberg and Hans Berg, ICABoston.org.